Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
We told you it was going to be a packed show live here at Bar Lines here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Nashville Cats season gets underway tomorrow. The Cats, I got to get used to that. The Cat season gets underway starting tomorrow in Clarksville. And to talk more about that, we bring in Coach Jeff Fisher, who is with us now, Commissioner of AF1. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. Do want to start? You lost one of your buddies this week, Coach Mack.
Yes, we did Monday.
Yeah.
I'd love to reflect a little bit about him. I've never met a person in my life that had a more positive influence on anyone and everyone that he crossed paths with than Mack.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys that you could meet and talk to him for 5 minutes and walk away from him, and you think you've known him all your life. He's one of those guys. We lost a real good one.
Yeah.
We really did. And he fought, and it's been a long month and a half or thereabouts. But I was very fortunate, to be, I don't want to say the inner circle, but I was there. It feels a little unusual, those listeners gone through it, when you've had a loved one that, you know, that's fighting and then Lord takes him, and so, you know, kind of weird not being back in ICU right now,
yeah,
you know, like we were. But the people that he touched over his career, and the people that reached out and made trips in to see him and everything, it's just amazing. And the, you know, the outpouring that I got, you know, personally, from people over the last 30 or 40 years has really been special.
How influential was he when he joined the Titans with you and you hired him in 2004 to coach linebackers? Was he to kind of take it? That was that transition point that, you know, the first run was kind of had run its course. You had guys that ended up leaving, and then the next wave was coming in. How influential was he in kind of helping you develop that next era of the Titans?
Well, he was very, very important. I mean, he would go. He was in his room, and his responsibility was the linebackers at that point. And, you know, everybody's responsible for their position groups. But Mack had, over, you know, the previous 10 years, had gotten a lot of experience. You know, he was a defensive coordinator, linebacker coach, defensive coordinator, interim head coach, and then got fired out at Arizona. And that's when I reached out to him. I said, hey, why don't you come on in here? And because Mack had aspirations of, you know, moving on and potentially trying to get another head coaching job. I said, why don't you come on in here and just settle down? I'll take care of all the stuff at the end of the hall that needs to be taken care of, and you just focus here and coach linebackers and get back to what you're really good at. And so he did. So, you know, Greg Williams, you know, as you mentioned, had left, and Jim Schwartz had left. And so, you know, now we're in that transition period. And so he was extraordinary. I mean, and then, you know, when we left here, I promoted him, I think, somewhere along the line to assistant head coach defense. And then, you know, when I went to St. Louis, that's what he was. He was assistant head coach, period. And so, you know, at the end of the hall, and I said this a number of times, I mean, at the end of the hall, days get busy, things come up, you're going to have the best well-planned day, and then, you know, an hour into it, things are gone haywire because all kinds of stuff comes out. He's the one that sticks his head in the door and goes, you okay, you need me to do anything? You know, yeah. And that's just how he was wired. And I guarantee you, he knew every single player's kids' names, coaching staff, you know, grandmas. I mean, he was just Uncle Mac at that point. For me, as I stepped away, you know, from Mac a little bit, but not on Sundays and not personally, but professionally, the impact that I think he had on Titans radio was just off the charts.
We're talking to Jeff Fisher on the Chase the Big Joe show. You've dealt with hundreds of coaches. What made him special, and why does this one hurt so much?
Mac just, he had that way of, it was communication. He was so honest, and the people, you know, players just trusted him when they walked in the door. You know, a lot of times, you know, as I got into my career, players were starting to, you know, it was different. It was a little different. There were a lot of distractions, a lot of things. And, you know, they come in and they don't know who to trust. And, you know, there's a self-respect issue and kind of things. But, boy, Mac was the guy. Mac was the guy that they would come to. Mac was the guy that handled so many of the behind-the-scenes little personal issues for them. Hey, man, I'm brother. It's like, brother, I got it. So, yeah, that's what he was really different. I mean, you know, the one thing I do want to point out that I didn't get a chance to talk about and appreciate the opportunity was how Mac's life was affected and rocked when he lost Pat Tillman.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that was different. That was a different Mac. And, I mean, he was just devastated. And so, you know, I talked to him a lot about that and, you know, and everything. And just for the listeners, Pat Tillman was a player of his with the Arizona Cardinals. You know, he was a good player. He was one of those heavy-hitting, big-bodied safety guys that was playing special teams. And then immediately following 9/11, Pat walked away from the Cardinals and enlisted and then was tragically killed in battle and friendly fire. And that was, oh boy, because Mac was communicating him through the whole process, the, you know, whatever, you know, his journey through into special ops and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
right.
What he was doing. So, but Mac was, he saw it as a blessing in his life to be able to coach a player that felt that strong about this country and what had happened, that he was going to go in and make a difference.
Wow. I knew, we all knew Coach Mac. I was in the cafe one day over there, and he said, I want to show you something. Went down to his office, and he had the invitation where Emmitt Smith had invited him to the Hall of Fame induction. And Emmitt only played for him for, what, a year or two?
Yeah,
And I was like, that's pretty great. And he would just talk about the impact that this man had on this legendary player in a short period of time, and it all speaks to what you're talking about right here.
Yeah, I mean, on the way over here, I was on the phone, a former 85 Bear. He was there 1 or 2 years after that. Kirk Becker, a guard, good friend of mine out of Michigan, called to find out, you know, what had happened and expressed his condolences. So he touched a lot of people over a long, long time.
Let me ask you that, not to put you on the spot. You talk about what a great job he did on Titans Radio. Would you do that for 1 year?
Would I do it?
Titans Radio? To continue the legacy of Coach Mac, what he did? You could say, I don't want to talk about it and move on. But here's a man who, he did great on the radio, and he was one of your best friends. We would love to have you.
At Big Joe on the
Big Joe tackling that big back's like bumping your head off a frozen truck bumper. You know?
We think you'd be
keep
fantastic.
Keep your powder dry, brother. That's on a scale of between 1 and 10, that's some good shit. Okay, how am I doing so far?
You're fantastic.
That was good. I was waiting for that right there.
I would do anything for Mac.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what's awesome. Coach Jeff Fisher is with us. Can we step away for a second, then we'll talk some cats?
Yeah,
we'll have more with Coach.
Thank you.
Coming up next here from Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Chase and Big Joe on this Thursday on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines talking about with our buddy Coach Jeff Fisher. The Cats get things started tomorrow at F&M Bank Arena, AF1. Tickets looking good.
Yeah,
for the
things
first
are
game.
Looking good. Yeah, we, you know, the Cats had a bye for week one.
Yep.
We got odd number teams. They got it last week. We had four games. We had our vice game of the week, and that thing, you know, came off okay. We got a lot of work to do with the broadcast, but the HTN stuff, the streaming stuff, Once we got it settled in San Diego, we had an Oceanside and Beaumont play, and there were some issues. But we got through everything. And so, yeah, you can stream the Cats on HTN, which is Hometown Network, and free charge, no paywall there, and watch the broadcast. So that's we're excited about that. We will have two or three, maybe even four game of the weeks down the line with respect to the Cats. But overall, I thought it was a good opening weekend. Numbers are good. The digital numbers and all social media numbers are really good, way ahead of last year. Tickets are good, and so it's going to be a challenge. Anytime week one's a challenge, but fortunately, we have a head coach here that's had plenty of week ones in his career. He's 12 wins away from becoming the all-time winningest indoor football coach. So Coach Arbett. So yeah, kind of looking forward to see how things unfold.
Well, we're excited to be a part of things again. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss the first game, but George Plaster will be, a good one to hang out with.
I recognize that name.
Yeah, that's a name that I...
Unacceptable. Sorry, Coach. Week one. Sorry. Unacceptable, for that.
That's right.
We want a commitment there. We had Mayor Golden on yesterday.
I heard that. Yes, I heard that. I was a little busy with Coach Mack stuff, but yeah.
Just the excitement up there. But for you, this whole new brand territory up in Clarksville, they've bought into you guys. It's got you and Jeff Jarrett are doing all the videos up there. It's got to be fun going to uncharted territory.
Yeah, it was. And a memory comes back. It was a week before Christmas, and there was a Christmas parade up there in downtown Clarksville. And F&M Bank Arena had a float or what have you. And so they invited us up, and I jumped on that thing. And now it's cold, and it's foggy, and people don't really know who's on these floats. But
right.
I was absolutely amazed. They said there were over 30,000 people.
Wow!
In this parade route for their Christmas parade.
That's fantastic.
It was amazing, and so there's a lot of excitement up there. When we put the season tickets on sale, boom, we had a volley. We got close to 100 or 1,000 the first day. Single game went on, 6 or 8 weeks ago, and they're still rolling. So, you guys saw it. It was pretty cool.
Oh,
so, so we're kind of looking forward to getting through it. There's always without the preseason and a preseason game where you can kind of dress rehearse and things like that. There's things that have a tendency to not to be overlooked. That just may be plugged in wrong. You got to make sure.
Right.
So we're going to go up there early and make sure everything's working.
Yeah, it's exciting because the two games up there last year, you knew,
yes.
Right? I mean, I was talking to you and you're looking out in the crowd and you're like, look at this. I mean, you knew, right?
Yeah.
And so it's even better when you know and it all comes to this fruition of wow.
Exactly. So we're just hoping things go smoothly. That the venues, there's really one entrance, have that big one there. And so we're hoping that goes quick so we get people in their seats and get them going. So we got there's a lot going on. I got a flag football game at halftime. And, Lady Cats are all fired up to perform and that. And then, we got a lot going. Jeff Jarrett included.
Yeah, so, it's good.
I made him. Put in writing, wasn't going to take my rear end down at midfield with some freaking wrestling move. That's cool. This is kind of where I met him. Remember this?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was right over there.
Right over there. Yeah. Known a lot about him, and it was the first time I met him personally. And shoot, I've been on the phone with him 3 or 4 times a day.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher is with us. To ask you, we're a week away from the draft. And, you've been through this so many times. But Mike Borgonzi spoke today, and we were talking about this off the air. And he was asked about, the GM and the coach, you're always going to have agreements. You're always going to have disagreements. That's a part of it. But when you're coming up on a player and the GM really likes it, but the coach just doesn't feel it, how important is it to find that middle ground? Because he said – if coach is not comfortable with the player, we're not going to take that player. And I thought that was refreshing to hear. How important is it to find that middle ground, whether it's with the head coach, a position coach, a coordinator, and then the talent evaluators, the front office, to agree on when to take a guy?
I'd also say it works both ways.
Sure.
So if the coach the GM wants a player. I mean, it's a two-way street. And you, what you have to do is all the work's been done. We hope that – no, I know it's a – you know, it's a, been a blur of an offseason for Coach and his staff and everything, but they got meetings. Their board's going to be – their board's probably pretty close to being right now. It will be right. So the head coach and the GM are going to sit there and say, okay, this guy versus that guy, this guy versus that guy. If these three guys are gone, and you're just going to go through that scenario. So you should have most of those things worked out, but it's really good to hear that you've got guys working together on the same page. Now – the, you know, the obvious issues there are the general manager has had more time evaluating these kids, and he's had more input from his scouts and his staff and the directors and all that stuff. And so the head coach typically is going to see as many, this is the way I did it, I was going to see as many as I possibly could that had second round and up grades, maybe half, middle, third round grades and up. Meaning I'm going to watch two or three or four games of each one of those guys on our board. You don't have time to go down and look at the fourth round, fifth, and all the, you know, into the sixth round. You just don't have the time. So that's where you have to trust your people. And then, you know, you might have to go, you may have to go look at a highlight tape or a point of attack tape really quick. If you're, you got a couple guys that are, you know, down there and you got, let's say you got a, you're in the sixth round, you got a fourth round grade on a kid, and you haven't seen him. You want to see him, and so there's a lot of communication that goes on, and that would also include, you know, they should have a pretty good idea about movement. You know, if they're going to trade and up or back, or then go here and go there, they're going to should have all those scenarios already have been rehearsed, and so, you know, I think, you know, I'm especially excited about this because I think this is the best staff that they've had in years. I'll just say that.
I'd agree with that.
I say with the coordinators and then coach, you know, I hate to say this, but there's no sign of any daycare around there anymore.
Yes! You know,
it's real. You just made his day.
This is a real deal, okay?
I love it.
I'm not going to put up with anything.
So, I love it.
Yeah.
As a head coach, how much did you deal with scouts? Were you allowed to talk to scouts? Did a scout come to you and say, hey, coach, there's this guy at some school. You got to look at him.
I mean, so, okay, real quick. Okay, we're gonna talk about, let's say we're going to talk about tight ends today, for example. And we got everybody in the draft room, okay? And on the board, you'll have your tight ends from the one that was graded the highest all the way down to the bottom. And so you're going to start at the top or start at the bottom. You call the name out. The area scout's going to read his report. Okay, then the director of or assistant director is going to read his report. The director of scout is going to read his report, and then the GM may chime in. Okay, and then the coach reads his report. So now you've talked about this player. Okay, so everybody's got a good feel for him and say, okay, is he okay in this area? Or do we want to move him up just a little bit, and then we'll revisit the player and so on and so forth. So yes, the scouts are in. They should be in. They should be reading their reports. Talking about, you know, everything and anything and everything, character, you know, athletic ability, background, family, history, did, you know, and now it's how many colleges did he play at, you know,
right,
and all that stuff. But so you're gonna throw all this information out, you know, and if it's a guy that the head coach, like that I hadn't seen, I'm taking notes and da-da-da, and so-and-so said this, and he said that, and if I got questions, and you can hopefully ask questions. You should be able to have open dialogue in there and ask questions. You should ask the scouts questions.
Right.
You know, all right, what games did you see him play? Okay, and who did he play against? That's where you got to really be specific because you want to make sure left tackles, you know, that you've seen him against a really good pass rusher. You know, things like that.
Right. You hit some home runs though in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. Derek Mason, David Stewart, Bo Scaife, Cortland Finnegan. How did those guys become successful when they're not day one and hell, not even day two guys?
Well, we had a lot of information. Floyd had put together a really good group of guys. I mean, you know, from CO to, you know, Rich Sneed was really valuable and you know, rest his soul and all that. But what happens sometimes is your board, you've got them graded numerically, okay? And then there's a line underneath. All these guys above the line, we have first round grades on. And then the next group is your second round group. Okay, so they're rated numerically, but they're also separated by rounds. Okay, so you're in the third round right now. and you have a player up on above the second round line, okay, you've got a higher grade on him. Now you really got to pay attention to that, the fact that he's there. Why is he still there? Were we wrong? Is there a character issue? Is there an injury issue? And so you have to identify all those aspects. And, you know, all this, I'm sure now it's all done, you know, from a, you know, from an automated standpoint. But we would have different color shields, a red, half a red shield. I mean, the guy's got injury history, or you have a little yellow shield over his name, and that guy's got some character issues in his background that make sure that we're talking about. Now, you take the shields off before, you know, before the draft, and you go, and some of them you leave on there. So, but that's kind of how. So, how do you get those guys? Well, it's coaches buying into it. It's an area scout. Wait a minute, I saw him do this. He can do this for us. I mean, I remember Chuck Cecil, just jumping on the table for Cortland. And oh, by the way, did he love Michael Griffin? Okay, yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, they both went to Pro Bowl as rookies. So
you're right.
Yeah. Okay, so he knew. I mean, he Chuck can evaluate DBs, you know, and that's the other thing you got to be careful of. You could, there are really good coaches out there in the meeting room, the NFL coaches that are less than capable, or what I want to say, that might be average or below average evaluators. They can coach the position, they can do this stuff, but they have a hard time telling who's better, okay, and who they like, and voicing their opinion. So as long as you have them evaluated and you understand that, then you know. Because you're going to get a high grade on a guy and you're going to get a low grade on a guy.
Sure.
And, you know, and so you got to kind of have to average that out and put it back up. But this is a fun week for them right now. I can't imagine what's going on. They got, you know, the new staff in there, and everybody's doing it, and they got late night dinners and catering, and that board's just flying all over
right.
the place, and, you know, rechecks, and hey, did you get a report on that ACL on so and so in his freshman year? We need to, you know, da da da. So there's a lot of information still coming in.
Do you miss it?
I missed that part of it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I missed. Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, well, that's the fun part is, you know. And then what you miss is when you get your guy, when your guy's there. Are we all good with this? Everybody good with this? And then, you know, because when we pull this guy off this board, we all drafted this to get this guy together. Yeah. And so did the security guard. This is his pick. You don't want to hear any of that business,
right.
You know. Through the building and all the second guessers. So I remember had fun with remember Mark Mariani. You know, Mark had played with my son Brandon at Montana, and I knew Mark. I knew his parents. I knew, and I kind of told them I went up and saw a game during a bye week and watched Mark running around. And you know, I was up in the suite with his parents because I was cold, and I was joking around saying, you know, I just might draft him in a year or two whenever he's available eligible. And so here you go. We had a fifth round grade on him. It's the sixth round, and why not? We need a returner. He'll be a good slot receiver, and boom, we take him. And oh my gosh, did I get a bunch of grief from some of the local writers.
I was in that meeting
because I drafted my son's college roommate.
Yep.
You know, and what happened his freshman year, or his rookie year?
Pro Bowl.
Yep. Yeah.
One of the best returners.
Yeah.
They've had.
Now, do you think I would waste a pick on somebody like that? I mean, it's like, now let me tell you a really quick story about waste a pick. I'm gonna go way back. San Francisco 49ers. I was there 2 years. I was there 92, 93. Okay, George Seifert, Carmen Policy, Eddie DeBartolo, you know, Joe Montana, Steve Young. That era.
Yeah.
Okay. Carmen Policy. Okay, who was the president? Okay, he got to make a pick traditionally. Every year, there were 12 rounds back there, so I don't know if he got the 12th round, he got to pick the 12th round or the 11th round, whatever it was. But when I got there, they said, Carmen's going to be up. I wonder who he's going to take. I went, who's? And they go, Carmen, the president. I go, he's going to draft a player? And they go, yeah. And so anyway, Carmen Policy gets up there, and he's kind of looking around, and we're on the board, and he reaches up, and he takes Elvis Gerback. From quarterback from Michigan.
Yep.
Right? Okay. We're still on the board. It's a 12th round. He was, you know, he would have been a free agent, whatever. And he took him because he had all these vowels in his last name.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
And he played, you know. He was there. He played.
That's
He was a good player, a good college player.
All the vowels.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, man.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about you know, looking at a guy that has some character flaws that, you know, we call it stuff, had some stuff, you know, whether it's a DUI or a fight or something. How did, if there was the consensus of like, we know this stuff's there, we're going to deal with it. How did you kind of mentally prepare for that? Or how did, what were some of the conversations you would have with the player of knowing there was some history of like, you're going to leave that at the door when you walk in here?
Yeah, that's the case. But that's already done. You know, I mean, we, you know, if there's, if a guy had an issue, had an arrest, we would have all the information regarding it. And then, of course, you want to interview the player at the combine if he's a, you know, a top 300 guy, or bring him in for a visit, interview him again and again, and get all the details. Because, you know, word of mouth and people, you know, reality can change. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a self-defense thing. Sometimes we would have done, we would have reacted the same thing because somebody insulted his wife or girl, you know, things like that. So get as much information as you possibly can and then make your decision. And there were a lot. There were some, we had a few over the years where, you know, they've fallen, you know, guy, a second round grade, third round grade, and now he's down there fifth, sixth. Okay, we want to bring him in as a college free agent. Okay, it's sit down and here we go. And so, you know, I always had the conversation with them, with the guys prior to the draft, that 20 visit guys and guys whenever I could. And, you know, I basically praised them for, I asked them if you remember the first time you put a helmet on, the first time you looked for through that plastic. How old were you? You were 7 or 8 years old? And, you know, they're nodding, they're smiling. I said, could you imagine where you are right now? It's like, congratulations, you are just about ready to take your, catch your first pass or have your first carry or your first pass rush in the NFL. I mean, this is so cool. I mean, you're like a week away from that. And then, yeah, coach, yeah, I'm really excited. Did you know that your last play is about this far away from your first play in the NFL? And you, and it is basically, it's like they look at you and they go, what do you mean? And I go, you're born that way in the NFL. That's the reality, okay? You make a mistake, you do this, you do that. Only you can push it back there 8 or 10 years, that last play. And that's my job, is to help you learn how to do that, you know, kind of thing. And so, you know, so, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, we had, the listeners don't see this, but my hands are about 6 or 8 inches apart. That was how thick our draft book was on Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
The information.
I bet.
Yeah. Oh, elementary school teachers. Yeah. The waitress at wherever. You know, it's just, we had as all the information you possibly could get. And I said this to you, I think one of the benefits, and go back to Cam, when Cam was drafted here a couple of years ago, one of the benefits of this NIL stuff and everybody moving is you have more people to interview now.
To talk to, yeah.
You have more people to talk to, yeah.
Coach, we appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
Good luck tomorrow night.
Sorry if we got out there on a
love it.
Yeah.
We're excited.
And I just want to say to the listeners, again, if you got a chance to meet Coach Mack over your lifetime, you've been blessed. And if you didn't, think of him and you'll be blessed, because that is one good man we lost.
Amen to that.
Thank you.
Good luck tomorrow. We'll see you soon.
Perfect. Thank you.
Coach Jeff Fisher joining us on the program. We're going to talk some boxing when we come back. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Moto Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.